Hello, good morning. You're very welcome to the program. Between now and nine, hoping for the best, planning for the worst in West Cork. 6,000-year-old farm calendars still at work in Sligo. The gathering of Galway's tribes in Times Square, and where was the first human footstep in Ireland? Beautiful, crisp, clear morning here on the East Coast. I hope you're enjoying the same. I was all over the country this week, north, south, east and west, and it's just absolutely glorious. Favourite time of the year. I want to begin in West Cork at the remarkable Dunamark or Dunamark Falls just outside Bantry, and a business that faced some pretty big decisions this week. I wanted to see what Donald Trump's so-called Liberation Day, otherwise known on this side of the Atlantic as Wednesday, looked like from the inside of one of those small to medium-sized firms trying to do business with America. I was also curious, after a controversy about mechanical harvesting of seaweed in Bantry Bay, to take a look at a business which harvested seaweed by hand.
So this is where the salmon swim up here. Do you know when the tide is in and when there's heavy rain, you can sit here and watch the salmon jump?
I'd say that's entertainment and a half, isn't it?
Dunamark Falls has nothing to do with Clara Sullivan's business, but you can't really blame her for showing it off to visitors.
I have notions that one day we'll get that set up for Wasai seaweed and it'll be powered by the river. Wouldn't that be something?
That'd be amazing.
Wouldn't it be amazing?
That'd be absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Our seaweed spa bat, that's beautiful. It's like a tea bag of seaweed. And you put it into your bathtub. You put it into hot water first, then into your bathtub, and it squeezes out all the beautiful gel. Your skin will never be as velvety.
Clare harvests seaweed to make a range of increasingly popular cosmetics and soaps she calls Wasai, Wild Atlantic Seaweed Ireland.
This is the sweet orange and rosemary salt bat. It's got the Epsom salts and seaweed, Irish seaweed, and it's just a treat for your body just to soak in that.
In Wasai HQ, Claire's mum Margaret and cousin Simon are bottling bath salts and labelling facial oils.
I feel like each product is kind of a bit of a bestseller in its own right, but I'd say the facial oil now is something that we sell more of it than anything.
Okay, lavender?
Yes, a touch of lavender.
Keep going.
Oh no, I'm useless at this.
Oh, I'd be very impressed now if you got this.
No, go on, help me out.
Geranium.
No, I would never have got that.
Bergamot and jojoba.
Okay.
And look at this. This is what we're doing, we were talking about machinery and about small businesses and about time being precious. This is our labelling machine at the moment.
A hand-cranked labelling machine.
Hand-cranked labelling.
When it comes to sticking the back labels on, you have to line them up, and that is the really hard bit.
But you must go cross-eyed doing that after a while.
Part of my expansion plan was to invest in a new labelling machine. And I got quotes, and they were all somewhere in the region of, imagine, 35,000 and 45,000.
So Simon, as you sit here today cranking out those labels,
be honest,
Donald Trump is what stands between you and an automatic labelling machine.
Yes, that was our step, because this is our bottleneck right now, is labelling products. And to grow bigger, that was our next step, was to get our labelling machine.
Okay.
But you know what, aren't we lucky? Aren't we lucky that we haven't committed to that machine? What's coming ahead of us now this evening? Just take the, like, give it a haircut. Just take the ends. Use the scissors. Never, ever pull it. If you pull the stipe, it's not going to grow again. That's a very important thing.
Stipe is where it's attached to the rock.
There you go, yeah. There we go. If you get right in there, you'll see it. So that needs to be left intact. You just take the ends and you hop from here to there to there.
What kind of feedback were you getting from customers in the States?
They absolutely loved and appreciated our products and loved where we were coming from in terms of the sustainability of how we gathered our seaweed, our emphasis on our packaging as plastic-free as possible, and then the quality of our products on top of that, and the price point was great. Everything was just working really well. There was one woman And I love, like, she wrote me an email and it was just so lovely. And she was saying how she'd been using our facial oil and she buys it again and again. And she went for lunch with her friends and her friends were like, this is an 80 something year old woman now. And her friends were like, what's going on? Who is he? Who is he? And they thought she had a new man in her life. And she was like, give me was I facial oil any day over a new man. I'd be very nervous of doing business in the United States, yeah. You don't know what's coming down the line. And if he can do things just like that, if he can impose a tariff like that, who's going to say, didn't he threaten 200% tariff on alcohol coming in from Europe, you know?
So you'll leave yourself open to the possibility of still doing mail order business with the United States. Yeah. But as for the idea of setting up shops and committing yourself to establishing a supply chain, you're not going to go there.
Oh, it was so much more. I was looking at going over to do a trade show in September in New York, and that it was expensive to take part in it. You'd have to have flights, accommodation, plus bringing over your stock with you. It was going to be a big investment, and that's what I was working towards. And I am just so grateful.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful that I'm on this side of that investment, you know, rather than the far side. Yeah. But I was talking to a man from Enterprise Ireland the other day. They're working with me. They're helping me out. I did the course with them. And they were saying, you know, Claire, maybe you need to start investigating other markets. And that's what's really frustrating to me, is I've put all this work and energy. And you could say I haven't lost money at this point, but I have.
You have lost time.
Because I've lost time. I haven't been here being able to produce, being able to like work on my business.
You can't dispute the wisdom of what they're saying to you, though, in suggesting that you maybe focus your energies elsewhere.
Elsewhere, yeah. Yeah. And there isn't there is interest elsewhere.
There you go. It's really not that much different to something that we've already done with Brexit. Those businesses that were facing towards the UK just had to learn how to pivot and go elsewhere.
But the thing is, they had an opportunity to prepare for that. You know, that was staggered. We knew that was coming. This is like a punch in the gut, this one, isn't it? It's just like, this is what I'm doing, and they're going to be rolling out midnight the 3rd of April. You know, nobody has had an opportunity to look at any other markets. And because of that, their income is going to drop. Their turnovers are going to go down. They'll have to let staff go. I mean, there's going to be serious repercussions. Wouldn't that be something?
Throw this into the water.
But it sounds like maybe.
Can I throw this into the water?
Okay, go for it, honey.
This rather gloomy conversation is interrupted by somebody telling even bigger fibs than Donald Trump.
Mom, I think it's too soft.
Oh, a shark? We went out kayaking one time and we saw basking sharks, didn't we?
Yeah.
Lucky you. Were they very big?
This big.
No, they were not. They were much bigger than that. They must have been. Because that's smaller than you. You're not bigger than a basking shark.
No, the basking shark's so big.
Yes, but I'm calling you small. What?
You're ditch. You're teeny weeny beside a basking shark.
No.
You are.
No, I don't.
Yes, you are.
No, I don't.
Did I mention she's three?
Being three is Amelia's excuse. What's yours? Clara Sullivan's products, wasai.ie. Having a conversation today about what the impacts of Trump's tariffs will be on Irish agriculture would be a little bit like trying to have a conversation in the summer of 2016 about what Brexit would ultimately end up looking like. We just don't know whether we are talking complete reset of global trade or a try-on that can be negotiated away. But that uncertainty alone is going to have a negative impact, just as you heard there from Clara Sullivan's business. So I am joined by Farmers Journal agribusiness editor Lorcan Roach to hear his best estimate of what it is that we might be looking at. Good morning, Lorcan.
Good morning, Philip.
Let's start with dairy. Businesses have known for a little over a month now that this is coming. Are there, do you think, warehouses packed to the rafters with butter all across America now?
I think, yes, first of all, I think businesses have known since November that this is coming. Like Trump has targeted trade every time he's been in power. In 2019, we saw it with the 25% tariff on butter. So it was kind of expected. So industry people I've talked to, they've been upping their shipments to the US since November. We've seen some very busy back end of the year. like if we look at the data for January, record butter sales to the US in January as well. So businesses have been front running this. Like clearly they didn't want it to happen, but you know, a bird in the hand is two in the bush, all that kind of stuff. So they were quite pleased to get their business, their stuff to the United States. There's lots of stuff from warehouse. Everyone's stocked up. So in the next few months, we'll see butter exports to the US plunge, because people in the US will run through their stocks that they've got on the without having to pay tariffs on it. So it's kind of, businesses have been front-running this, they have been preparing for it, and so I think we're kind of okay for the next few months.
For the next few months. Kerrygold is the second best-selling brand of butter all across America, but at $5 for the small 8-ounce pack, it's 2.5 times more expensive than the butter that most people would be able to buy. If you're the kind of person, Lorcan, who is already flahoolock with your butter choices, is a 20% tariff going to make any much of a difference, do you think?
I don't think it'll make a huge difference at all. I think when it comes to the retail price, you might see a 10 to 15% jump in the retail price of the butter. Like you said, like it's the second biggest selling butter in the United States. It's the largest imported butter in the United States as well. So these people, they say, like they are somewhat fluid. They're used to spending slightly more money on the butter. That won't make a huge difference. I think like in the short term, I'm not saying this doesn't matter. It clearly does matter. But it's not going to leave too much of a mark if it's only in for the short term. We saw that in 2019 when the tariffs came in for 3 or 4 months. Butter sales in the US actually went up during that period. So if this is short term and if Trump can be talked out of it or talked back off the ledge, then we'll get through this fine.
Similarly, if you're the kind of person who's spending $70 on a bottle of Irish whiskey, you're probably not going to have too much of a problem spending $85 or thereabouts without thinking about it too much.
Yeah, I think that's saying, clearly on the whiskey side, whiskey's kind of got hit harder last time as well. And there was a fear, as your previous contributor said, that there was a 200% tariff coming in on whiskey. So the whiskey market in Ireland obviously is unhappy again with this, because whiskey's the US market is very important for Irish whiskey. But 20% tariffs, I don't want to sound too blasé about it, but considering what was on the table, 20% sounds like we might have got away with it a small bit.
So steady as she goes then for these products at the premium end of the market that Irish food producers are supplying, until inflation starts increasing in the United States, do we then end up in a much stickier place?
Yes. I think if you look at what markets, US stock markets, has done the last 2 days, we're down more than 10% the last 2 days. And these stock markets are not worried too much about Donald Trump's tariffs. What they're looking at is what's their growth prospects for the US. And if the US imports 15 or up to 30% inflation, then the consumers in the US, and the consumer in the US drives the US and to a large extent drives a lot of the world economy. If they start losing jobs, if their real incomes drop rapidly, which seems what's going to happen, then their spending power will drop and the economy in the US will start to shrink. If the US economy starts to shrink, then all these premium products, like we saw in Ireland when 2022, 2023, when we had the higher inflation here, consumers traded down in their shopping. They stopped buying premium products, stopped buying branded products, started buying, to use the old phrase, the yellow pack version, because they needed to save money. And if consumers in the US start needing to save money because the economy is shrinking, then nobody's flahoolock anymore. People will buy the butter that's $2 a pack. They'll buy the $20 bottle of whiskey because they can't afford it. And you end up in a situation as well where this kind of conspicuous consumption that exists in the US becomes a little bit kind of almost bad taste. So people stop spending the stuff on the kind of products that Irish people are selling over there. So there is a much bigger risk in 6 months or a year's time. And I suppose that's why, for what we've seen so far from the EU with response, they haven't instantly responded like China did yesterday, because they want to kind of give Trump time to see the damage he's doing and give him an opportunity to walk these things back. Okay. And if it is brought back in 3 months or 6 months, we'll look back in the future and say, geez, that was scary. Thank goodness we got through it.
Well, let's play the speculation game even further then. Might, rather than ramping up those tariffs, might EU response come in the form of pushing the Mercosur trade deal over the line as a way of saying to Trump, if you want to be isolationist, go knock yourself out there, Mr. President. We're just going to start doing business with everybody else.
Yes, I think that's very much a very strong possibility. I think we might end up having, like I said, Trump wants to be isolationist, and the royal might say, well, we're going to isolate you. So like we've seen increased talks between not only Mercosur, France might be able to get over the line now and then Mercosur will come in, Irish agriculture is obviously not a fan of Mercosur because it means a lot of South American beef might be coming to the US, sorry, coming to the EU, which will be competition for us. But also Irish pharmaceuticals then and other things to go to South America. So it's a kind of a balance for Irish economy. But we see talks between the EU and China as well. Six months ago, there was problems with the Chinese EV cars and China was targeting Irish dairy for investigation. That seems to be all, the tone there has changed quite a lot in the last 3 or 4 days. So we could end up having a world that the US is put back on the shelf, basically.
This is a total speculation, but in the here and now, the kind of uncertainty that Clara Sullivan in Bantry is facing must be being experienced by all kinds of other business and influencing decisions today.
It has been influenced decisions since Trump took power. I think we saw, like, there was a business survey from the US there last week. I was reading it, and there was 400 responses from businesses, and every single business was saying, I am not investing because the current economic situation is so uncertain. And that uncertain, if people aren't investing now, will reap the, I suppose, that in the next 3 or 4 years, because the investments that aren't happening now will lead to lower growth in future. So it is the uncertainty with, and even right now, we have the tariff announcement, 20%. It's like, okay, we know what's going to happen there, but we're dealing with Donald Trump, so we don't actually know what's going to happen there. He could turn around next week and put a 50% tariff on Irish pharmaceuticals and knock the Irish economy back into a cocktail. So it is very much like it's, the uncertainty is continued as long as Donald Trump is there. I think that's what we have to deal with.
Lorcan Roach Kelly, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Well, folks, if you do not like the way that 2025 is shaping up, we are going 6,000 years back in time after the break.